Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St. Albans and from further afield. Now, Happy New Year to you. I hope that you've had a brilliant time over the last couple of weeks and are refreshed and ready to get stuck into 2019. Anyway, coming up later in the show, Quacknav to the rescue. I'm not going to explain what that one means just yet. But first, the simplest ideas can be the most effective. And when Pete Hill, the chair of Free Books Hatfield, got in touch and told me about how they were celebrating saving their 100,000th book from landfill, I thought that you'd like to hear more. Pete, thank you for joining me. So, Free Books Hatfield, that's quite an interesting concept. How does it work then? Are you just giving free books to anybody?
Yeah, it does what it says on the tin, Amanda, really. We give three free books to each of our customers on every visit. And that includes big people, little people, anyone that comes in can take away three free books.
And why do you do that?
We do it for two reasons. One is to save the books going to landfill. Figures are very difficult to find on how many books in the UK go to landfill, but it's thought to be about 13 million, which is a lot of books.
Is that every year?
That's every year in the UK. Probably amazes people to know that 50% of the books that are produced in the UK are never read because they end up going back to the publishers, and the publishers then wonder what to do with them. So the quality of the books we get in Free Books Hatfield as well. We're not just talking old books here. We're talking books in mint condition, which is something that's we found very surprising. I think a lot of our customers find surprising as well.
OK, so how long has Free Books Hatfield been going on for, Pete?
We started in June 2016 as a charity. We opened our shop at the Galleria in Hatfield, Unit 96, on the 16th of December 2016, which is a date I remember well because we were very nervous, wondering what had happened. But
yes.
That's when we opened the doors.
Fantastic. And why did you decide to set it up? What was there anything in particular that made do you think free books, that's what we're going to do?
Originally, in the Galleria in Hatfield, there was a charity called Healthy Planet that had a chain of free bookstores throughout the country. Unfortunately, at the end of 2015, they got into financial difficulty and went into liquidation. And I was a volunteer, as were some of my fellow trustees at Healthy Planet. And we decided at that point, when they went into liquidation, we had two choices, really. We went and volunteered somewhere else, or we took on the idea, and we thought it was such a great idea that we couldn't let it go, so we formed our own charity.
And decided to carry on. And how do you manage to cover your overheads if you're giving the books away for free?
We have to say a big thank you to Land Securities, who are our landlords, who let us have the unit for free. We say a big thank you to Wellington Hatfield Council also, who give us the 20% discount on top of the national 80% discount on business rates. And we have to say a big thank you to our customers, who provide enough donations so that we manage to keep the lights on, we pay for the insurance, and we cover all our overheads.
Okay, then that sounds, well, that's great that you're able to keep it going like that. So how many books have you managed to save in these 2 years that you've been going?
Up until the second week of November this year, we had rehomed 100,000 books, which is a little story in itself, because I was asked right at the beginning of Free Books Hatfield, how many books you think you can rehome in a year? And to be frank with you, I had absolutely no idea. So off the top of my head, I brought the figure 50,000 to be returned to a meeting of trustees of Free Books Hatfield, who said, "You said what? 50,000? And thankfully, the first year we managed 50,000. Actually, if you take it accurately to the end of this year, we will have done about 52.
So that is about 1,000 books a week.
Yeah.
So about 200 books a day that you are rehoming and saving from landfill.
Yeah, that's the way it works. I mean, we're open 6 days a week. We're open 11 till 4, don't open on a Sunday. And so you're absolutely right with the maths. We're amazed.
Yeah.
That in a small bookstore in Hatfield, we can manage to do that.
You're making such big savings, which is absolutely amazing. Really good. So where do your volunteers come from? What's the sort of background of them?
We have a lot of volunteers from the University of Hearts who are very good. Probably 40% of our volunteers are students who are great. It's a kind of two-way process with some of our students. They need to do some volunteering. voluntary work for their courses. So we provide that ability. And we get other volunteers from all walks of life, to be honest.
But, so that's a lovely way, actually, of the students being able to become involved a little bit in the local community as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as I speak at this moment, we've got a team of MBA students who are looking at us as a case study in terms of a charity, which is nice.
Yeah, fantastic. So the donations that you get, what kind of things do you find are particularly sought after?
We get it's very, very variable in terms of. I like to say when I'm working in the shop, every day is like Christmas because you get a box of books in and you have absolutely no idea what's in there. Sometimes we get books that we think are of value, and what we do with the books we think are of value is we have campaigns a couple of times a year where we offer those books for donation, and then we make the donations to other local charities.
So which local charities have you been able to help recently?
We've helped the Hatfield Night Shelter, and we've currently got a campaign on for Hearts Young Homeless. So hopefully we've got some very nice books which people will donate just a little bit. We only ask for a couple of pound donation. And that will build up to help some of our other local charities. I mean, we like to work with other charities. So I think it's very important that in this day where money is so tight, that charities get together and all work together.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you were saying that students volunteered with you a lot, but you were also saying earlier that actually it really works for them because the textbooks that are so expensive, you're able to recycle those as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of textbooks, and if there are any students listening, you will know how expensive those textbooks are, and they're one use only because someone hopefully gets through their course, they're successful in their course, and suddenly they're left with all these books and thinking, well, what do I do with them? Well, we have a great outlet for that.
Yeah.
And we have a large selection. During the summer, somebody brought us in 5 cases of business studies books. Which if you added the value of those 5 cases, it was astronomical. And thankfully, they've all now been recycled to other students that are doing business studies.
Yeah, so any students listening, a great place to find some of those really expensive books that you need at the beginning of your course. OK, so it sounds like there's absolutely fantastic things going on at Free Books Hatfield. What are your plans for 2019?
Plans for 2019 are to keep to doing what we're doing, hopefully. And we're looking more towards legacy, to be honest, because it takes 2 years to establish yourselves. When we first established the project, we didn't know where it would go. Thankfully, it's been very successful. We've now got an eye to the fact that 100,000 books in 2 years in a very small bar of Hertfordshire might point to the fact that there's a real national problem out there. And we would love people to come to us and say, well, we'd like to set up one of those in our area. How do we do it?
Okay, well, fingers crossed that there's somebody out there listening. If you are doing, then get in touch and we'll put you in touch with Pete. Pete, best wishes for 2019 and thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thanks, Amanda.
And I was talking there to Pete Hill of Free Books Hatfield. And afterwards, I was talking to Pete, and there's a couple of extra things that he told me. One of the things he said was that virtually none of the books go to waste from Free Books Hatfield. Really, virtually everything finds a new home. Also, that the volunteers are never asked, they never ask for donations. It's, you know, if people want to give them, then that's great. And the other thing is that they've been spreading the love all the way to Kenya, where they helped set up a library with the charity Just Be a Child. So lots of great work. And as I say, such a simple idea. Thanks to Pete for getting in touch there. So any Christmas books that you've got that you've finished with or that's just not your thing, they'll, of course, find a home at Free Books Hatfield. Or do take them to the lovely Oxfam bookshop on Catherine Street. Certainly do not chuck them in the bin and don't leave them languishing on your shelf gathering dust. Let them free into the world to be enjoyed and to help good causes. Now, let's hear about another great initiative. An ambitious new project has been launched by the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust and other partners to gain insight into how waterfowl use reservoirs and lakes. The project is thought to be the first of its kind. I spoke to the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust conservation manager, Tim Hill, to find out more. Tim, thank you very much indeed for joining me. So, why do you want to know about the movements of ducks?
Well, it's very important to Hertfordshire Middlesex Wildlife Trust because we have a duty to conserve gadwall and shoveler, particularly because the Lea Valley is of European importance on account of the numbers of gadwall and shoveler. At the moment, we're concentrating on the gadwall. It's about 500 or so birds winter in the Lea Valley, which is roughly 1.7% of the national wintering population. So we've got a real responsibility to look after them there.
OK, so actually things quite locally are of national importance then. We really are on the map sort of nature-wise there.
They are, yes. The Lea Valley was designated as a special protection area, which is a European designation on account of the wintering wildfowl there. And it includes the Amwell Nature Reserve, Rye Meads, Cheshunt Gravel Pits and Walthamstow Reservoirs. And combined, they support 500 plus gadwall wintering there.
Okay, and all of those places, they're all reserves looked after by the Hertfordshire Middlesex Wildlife Trust?
No, not all of them. So two of them, Rye Meads and Amwell, are Hertfordshire Middlesex Wildlife Trust nature reserves. Cheshunt Gravel Pits are Lea Valley Regional Park Authority owned and managed, and the Walthamstow Reservoirs are owned and managed by Thames Water.
Okay, so a bit of a team thing going on there. And also this SatNav project, who's working with you on this?
So this is a collaborative project between Hertfordshire Middlesex Wildlife Trust, Thames Water, the Lea Valley Regional Park Authority and the Environment Agency. So we've come together to work together on it because we have a combination of sites, expertise and funding.
OK, well, I bet the ducks are pleased that you're all getting together to help them. So these sat-navs that you use, I'm trying to think, the sort of things I've got in my car wouldn't probably fit on the back of a duck very comfortably. How big are the sat-navs that you attach to the ducks?
So the sat-nav tags, which are fitted to the ducks, are about 5 centimetres long by about a centimetre and a half wide. They weigh approximately 15 grams.
OK, so that's not so big, but then birds are quite little. Does this bother them at all?
No, it doesn't. The tagging project is done under licence from the Home Office and British Trust for Ornithology. And under the licence, we have to make sure that the ducks aren't harmed. So it's the welfare of the ducks comes first. So the tags themselves are just stuck firstly to a piece of gauze, and then that piece of gauze is stuck to the back of the ducks, to the feathers, using a glue. And we're hoping that it'll stick on there for between 4 and 8 weeks.
OK, so a reasonable amount of time then. So these are overwintering species, aren't they? So are they moving around over this period?
Well, that's the whole point of this project, is that we're trying to find out more about where these ducks go, because if we're going to conserve them for the future, we have to understand where they're spending their whole days. And whilst we have an idea of the total counts at the moment, we don't know about their movements. So during the winter time, obviously they need somewhere where they can feed, so where they can get sufficient food to help them survive through the winter. But they also have to roost as well, so that's finding somewhere safe, undisturbed, free, where they're free from threats of disturbance or predation indeed. And by fitting the satellite tags to the ducks, that means that 24 hours a day we can find out exactly where they are, we can find out where they're flying to from their refuge areas out to other feeding areas.
And I suppose all those things that you said there, feeding areas, areas of safety to reach, this sort of thing, there's no point in having one without the other. All of these are essential for these ducks.
No, it's a bit like us. You know, we have various needs during the day and particularly during the wintertime when conditions are severe. So these birds are travelling hundreds, possibly thousands of miles to spend the winter in Hertfordshire and the Lea Valley. And we have a real duty to make sure that they do survive, to be able to then fly off and breed back next summer.
Okay, so you've been following these ducks for a couple of weeks now. Have you learnt anything already, or do we have to wait for the end of the project?
No, we've already learned some. The tags have been on the ducks now for a couple of weeks, and they were fitted to the ducks at Rye Meads near Hoddesdon in the Lea Valley. And already the data that we're getting is really interesting. So one pair, so in total four gadwall were fitted with tags. One was a pair, a male and a female, and They've spent most of their time at Rhymes, where the tags were fitted, but they've more recently moved up to the Amwell Nature Reserve, which is about a mile up the valley from there. And as of Friday, when I last checked, they were spending their time at the Amwell Nature Reserve, which is Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. And then the two male gadwalls that were also fitted with tags, they've been a little bit more wide roaming, so they've been up to Amwell as well. But more interestingly, they've also flown across to Nasing in Essex. And it looks like they've flown to an area of farmland that we weren't aware of there being any roosting or feeding habitat. But that's the fascinating thing about what this piece of work will reveal, because we want to find out exactly where they are going, and we'll be able to pinpoint the places that they need and use. So we can work with other landowners, hopefully, to make sure that those areas are protected.
Oh, this sounds fascinating stuff, Tim. Do hope you'll come back and tell us about the full results when they're in. Tim, thank you very much indeed for joining me.
And I was talking there to Tim Hill of the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust. Now, the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust is one of the hundreds of groups that has taken part in past Sustainable St. Albans Weeks, which this year is being expanded into the Festival of Sustainability. And registration is now open for events for this year's Festival of Sustainability, which runs from the 11th of May to the 1st of June. You can listen to me talking to Catherine Ross, the chair of the organising committee, in a podcast at www.radioverulam.com/podcasts. Now, any local group can run an event, and the event can be anything that makes our district a little bit more sustainable. And what I'll do is I'll pop a little blog on the environment page of the Radio Verulam website so that you'll have all the details to hand. Now, one of the organising groups for Sustainable St. Albans Week is St. Albans 20 of the Earth, and they will be discussing their event, amongst other things, at their meeting next Tuesday, the 8th, at the Crown Pub on Hatfield Road. Everyone is welcome to join them in planning their campaigns and events, exchanging tips to be just a little bit more planet-friendly over a friendly pint. Now, you can listen to any edition of Environment Matters by going to the podcast page of the Radio Verulam website, and you can also subscribe to the weekly Environment Matters podcast through your favourite podcast provider. I will be back at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.